السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، على من لا نبي بعده، ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا. وقال تعالى: إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, you and I, as social beings, meaning that we interact with one another. And Allah ta'ala has also created the world in such a way that we are interdependent upon people, and that paves the way for interaction. There is no person who is not in need of another person in some way or the other. The businessman is in need of the laborer. The laborer is in need of the employer for his risk. Through that, Allah grants him risk. No matter how wealthy a person might be in his own right as an industrialist or as a businessman, but when something goes wrong in the bathroom in his house, he needs a plumber. The plumber needs the clients for him to be able to ply his trade. And all of that, Allah has made it such. Why? Because we are supposed to interact with one another. And that is why we are perhaps the only species on this earth, human beings, that when we meet with one another, we meet chest to chest. In the animal kingdom, for example, when one animal shows another his chest, his open the chest, it is a sign that I have given up, you have gained the upper hand over me. A human being are not like that. Human being, you and I, we deal with one another, we meet with one another face to face, chest to chest, breast to breast. And one of the reasons is that Allah has made us social beings, that we are supposed to interact with one another. And Allah Ta'ala has given us elaborate details on how we are supposed to interact with one another. Allah has told us the rights of our parents, the rights of our children, the rights of our neighbors, the rights of our fellow citizens. All of that has been clearly made mention in the Holy Quran and the hadith of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, in today's talk, I would like to make mention of one aspect that happens during the course of interaction. And during the course of interaction, there is one drawback. What is that drawback? The drawback is you are bound in the course of interaction to have disagreements. You are bound to have difference of opinions, which sometimes might even lead to disputes and arguments. How do you deal with disputes and arguments in your life? And there is no one's life that is free from it. Sometimes it might be within your own family. Sometimes it might be on a more macro level amongst your community, in the masjid that you are in, sometimes on a wider scale, you know, in on the country level, whatever it is. But there is bound to be this type. Now, difference of opinion is not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily bad. In fact, difference of opinion is almost an inevitable thing, which is bound to happen. But of course, it depends how you deal with it, how you structure it, that can make it constructive or destructive. However, here we're talking about disputes and arguments. Now, disputes and arguments are no ordinary matter. It causes unnecessary tension in your life, and it also causes blessings to be taken out of your life. Allah Ta'ala in the 10th surah of the Holy Quran says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Do not dispute and argue with one another. فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Two things will happen. One is you will lose heart and you will become weak. The very nature of disputes and arguments in your life, two things are going to happen. وَلَا تَنَازَوْا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. You are going to become despondent and you are going to become weak. Arguments and disputes by his very nature on an individual and a collective level makes one despondent and makes one weak. Therefore Allah Ta'ala has told us, stay away from argumentation and disputes. Hazrat Luqman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whom Allah has entitled an entire surah on his name in the Holy Quran, has very beautifully said in one of his golden advisors, may yuksirul mira yashtim, or it could also be read yushtam. He who gets involved in an argument, either he will swear or abuse someone else, or someone else will abuse or swear him. And both of these things are not good. Why should you swear someone, which is an act of sin? Or why should you be abused by someone? Why should you be sworn at? And this is a natural consequence of disputes and arguments. Either you're going to swear someone, or someone is going to swear you or abuse you. And both of these things are not good, therefore stay away from argumentation and disputes. Our ulama have made mention, in fact there is mention, Tafsir ibn Kathir has made mention of this incident. He said, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was coming to tell people about the precise and exact night, the exact time of Laylatul Qadr, when two people were fighting. And because of the fighting of those two people, Allah Ta'ala lifted that knowledge to himself till the day of Qiyamah. The ulama have said there is various other wisdoms why Allah has not given us the precise night of Laylatul Qadr. That is a different matter. However, commenting on this, Tafsir Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says that fighting and arguments is so pernicious, so disliked by Allah, that because of that Allah Ta'ala had taken away this knowledge till the day of Qiyamah. Now keeping this in mind, our ulama have told us, how do we deal with disputes and arguments? The first thing our ulama told us, stay away from an argument before it happens. Walk away from an argument before it happens. You know that if you are going to go in a particular situation, someone is going to tell you something, you are going to be provoked, you are going to react. Stay away from that. The ayat in the 19th surah of the Holy Quran, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا, refers to this very aspect, that when a jahil, when an ignorant person addresses you, he entices you towards an argument. Qalu salama, say unto him peace. Say unto him salam, I don't want to get involved in an argument with you. We know the hadith that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, when the month of Ramadan come, and when you are fasting and a person, he goads or baits you into an argument. فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِمْرُؤٌ سَائِمْ, tell unto him, I'm keeping fast, I don't want to argue with you. So do you see this aspect? How the Quran and Hadith have told us, walk away from an argument before it happens. Stay away from an argument before it becomes a reality. And part of this is, our ulama have told us, that, you know, keep your financial matters very, very clear, so that it does not lead to argument. Look at all the books of fiqh. Look at all the books of jurisprudence. They say any business transaction which leads to an argument, that business transaction is not permissible. If you were to tell someone, whatever mangoes are on this tree, I want to purchase it. I want to purchase it for a 200 ren. The ulama have said it's not permissible, because you don't know how many mangoes there are going to be, because it's going to lead most probably to an argument. Therefore, that particular type of transaction is not permissible. So that is why our ulama say there is one hadith. Some of the ulama said it's a hadith. Some of the ulama have said it's a saying. تَعَامَلُوا كَالْعَقَارِبُ تَعَامَلُوا كَالْعَجَالِبُ وَتَعَاشَرُوا كَالْعَقَارِبُ. In your social life, deal with every person as if it's your family. Socially, deal with every person that this is my family, he's like my family. But in terms of financial matters, then deal with even your family members as if they are strangers. Socially, deal with outsiders as if they are your family. Financially, deal even with your family as if they are strangers. So keep everything done in such a way that it does not lead to arguments amongst brothers, amongst uncles and nephews. So first thing is, with regard to disputes and arguments, stay away from an argument before it happens. The second thing our ulama have said, consider unilateral withdrawal. You are in an argument. And when you are in argument, you know that there's an argument, there's a dispute. What do you do with regard to it? One of the things that you should do is consider unilateral withdrawal. Walk away from the argument. Even if you have to lose something, Wallahi al-Azim, Allah will reward you for that. Nabi Karim s.a.w.'s hadith, which appears in Abu Dawud Sharif, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمَرَى وَهُوَ مُحِقٌ. I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for a person who walks away from an argument while he is correct. Brothers, listen to this hadith. I guarantee a house in the middle of Jannah for a person who walks away from an argument وَهُوَ مُحِقٌ while he is correct. He walks away from it, Allah Ta'ala says, I will grant him Jannah because he walked away from an argument. So the second thing, firstly, stay away from an argument before it happens. Secondly, consider unilateral withdrawal. Thirdly, our ulama say, consider sulah. When you are in an argument or dispute, consider sulah. Allah in the Holy Quran tells us, وَالسُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Compromise is blessed. It is good. What is the meaning of compromise? Compromise is that you give up some of your rights with the intention of getting an overall settlement. So you give and take. You give away something and you take something. The other person whom you are in argument also does the same thing. In that particular way, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالسُّلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Compromise is good, is blessed. And of course, people who are in the know, people who are elderly, they normally tell you that many a times a less than satisfactory compromise is better than a successful judgment that you might win in a court or win in an arbitration. You know, because compromise is in your hands. Compromise is in your hands. It is in your hands to be able to accept, not to accept. So consider compromise in terms of resolving your arguments and disputes. The fourth thing our ulama tell us with regard to any argument is to forgive the person with whom you have an argument. Now this is very difficult. But wallahi al-azim, this is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let us understand what is the meaning and definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a right to which you are entitled to. A right which you are entitled to, but you forego it for a more better or a more noble purpose. Thus Allah says in the 24th surah of the Quran, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The legal recompense of an evil deed done to you is to do an evil deed likewise in return. Someone has slapped you, you've got the legal right to slap him back in return. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. However, to forgive the person and to reconcile, your ajr is with Allah. وَأَنْ تَعَفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. And if you forgive another person who have done you wrong, it is closer towards piety. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. If you make sabr upon the wrong someone has done you and you forgive him, it's an act of great courage. Subhanallah. You and I would think that if someone does me wrong, for me to take and extract retribution and revenge, I am strong. Look at what the Quran tells us. The Quran tells you that to forgive a person who has wronged you, that is an act of great courage. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. This is what our beloved Nabi Karim s.a.w. did. When our beloved Nabi Karim s.a.w. came into Makkah Mukarramah, and in front of Nabi s.a.w. there were people who had, you know, thrown thorns on his path. There were people who had been amongst those who had killed and led to his daughter's demise. There were people who had chewed his uncle Hazrat Hamza's liver, mutilated the body. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was entitled by the definition of forgiveness which I have given you to take and extract retribution to that extent. But what did he say? La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Go, there is no reproach upon you. Yaghfirullahu lakum. May Allah forgive you the way I am forgiving you. So this is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even amongst them there were people who had killed his own daughter. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgave them. So wa antafu aqrabu littaqwa, to forgive a person with whom you are at dispute with, is an act of great courage. It is closer towards piety. It is amongst the things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recommended, both in deeds and in practice and in his sayings. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَهُ عَلَىٰ تُحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Brothers, understand this ayat. Just look at the beauty of this ayat. Be forgiving to people. Forgive people. عَلَىٰ تُحِبُّونَ. Don't you love? Allah must forgive you. The ayat is so clear. To the extent that you are forgiving and merciful to others, Allah will be forgiving to you. You know, you are within your right. Many a times you are within your right not to forgive. But what happens if you don't forgive? When you don't forgive, it happens that the very same thing you want to avoid, it happens to you. You are keeping that bitterness and arguments in your life for the rest of your life. All the time it is with you. So you have not given up on the whole thing. In many ways, someone has very beautifully said, you are giving someone to stay in your heart without rent. Without rent, he is staying and keeping in your heart because you have not been able to bring closure to the matter. And brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us in today's time this pettiness and this bitterness that has crept into our community and society, which we carry around all the time. It is bringing harm to our community, bringing harm to our societies, bringing harm to our organizations. Pettiness. We have become so petty. The more petty you become, one doesn't say you must become so wide that you compromise. We're not talking about this. But the very nature of pettiness is this, that the more petty you become, you come into a cul-de-sac, and then you get caught up in your own pettiness. And one day it comes to bite you. It comes to haunt you. And even this bitterness, carrying this bitterness, is a beautiful example that has been given. It's a hypothetical tale. They say a teacher one day told the small children, you know, bring potatoes to the class, and to the extent of how many people you hate, keep those potatoes for a one week with you. So some people said, I hate two people in the class. Some said, I hate three people. Some say, I hate four people. Some say, I hate five people. The teacher said, according to the amount of people you hate, keep those people, that potatoes, for 1 week. After 1 week, he said, how did you find it? He said, we found it very, very difficult. Why you found it difficult? Well, obviously, firstly, it was burdensome. Then after a while, that very same potatoes became smelly, but we had to carry it because it was your order. Said, that is the reality with regard to bitterness. That is the reality with regard to bitterness, that you are carrying it all along. Never mind the harm that you are trying to cause to someone, you are harming yourself. Brothers, keep this thing in mind. There is no one who is so big, and there is no one who is so great that can harm others without harming himself. Wisdom in today's context. Wisdom in today's context, it is being constructive rather than destructive, rather than constantly plotting the downfall of others, which has become a pastime in our community and society, much to the detriment of our individual self and to the detriment of our communities and societies. Also with regard to arguments, brothers, stay away from religious arguments. Normally our ulama, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, has written that religious arguments and debate is a forte of the learned. They can do it within the particular framework. They can do it within this whole, the Quran and Hadith. But for you and I, people like you and I, we follow that alim whom we are comfortable, and you go and take your masail from him. Unnecessary. If you don't agree with another alim's view, you continue taking the view of the alim that you are happy with whom you have confidence and you have trust, and you follow him, without criticizing those who might follow another particular viewpoint. Akbar al-Ahabadi, the very famous poet, had said, مذهبی بحث میں نے کی ہی نہیں, فالتو عقل مجھ میں تھی ہی نہیں. مذہبی بحث میں نے کی ہی نہیں. I never got involved in religious argumentation. Religion is not with the intention of argumentation. Religion is with the intention of coming closer towards Allah. Faltu akal mujh mein thi hi nahi. I've never had spare intellect to get involved in religious debates. Follow the alim that you are comfortable with and go ahead. You know, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Ma dhalla qawmun ba'da al-huda illa utul jadal. Brothers, listen to this hadith. Ma dhalla qawmun ba'da al-huda illa utul jadal. No nation, after being on hidayat, مَا ذَلَّ قَوْمٌ بَعْدَ الْهُدَىٰ إِلَّا أُوتُوا الْجَدَلِ, have been led astray after being on hidayat, except through the means of argumentation. No nation who has been on hidayat, have been thereafter led astray, except through the means of argumentation, especially religious argumentation. Part of this particular aspect of argumentation is always maintain relationship. Always maintain relationship. Let me give you this beautiful example that Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, one of the greatest contemporary scholars of our time, writes, in his family there was an incident where a person who normally at all family occasions used to stir up some sort of debate, some sort of trouble within the family. So he said, after one such incident, he wrote a letter to him which signified the cutting off of ties and relationship. But before he went to give him that particular letter, he went to show it to his esteemed father, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh looked at this and said, why do you write such a letter? Because if you write this letter, relationship will be cut off. And don't you know the hadith? Inna husnul ahdi minal iman. To maintain relationship is part of iman. He said, don't write this letter. You're going to break off ties. إِنَّ حُسْنُ الْأَهْدِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Maintaining relationship is part of iman. Brothers, keeping this in mind also, is that we must at all times bring people together. Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Bring people together. If you know people who are fighting, then bring them together. Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala is a sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala says, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Umama narrates this, is a saying of a sahabi. He say, walk 1 mile to go and visit your Muslim brother. Walk 2 miles to go and visit a Muslim brother who is sick. And walk 3 miles to reconcile Muslim brothers who are fighting. Say, walk 1 mile to go and visit a Muslim brother. Walk 2 miles to go and visit a Muslim brother who is sick. But walk 3 miles to reconcile Muslim people who are fighting. Because Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَصْلِهُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion went to go and sort out a dispute which was raging between Bani Amir bin Auf. And during the course of trying to reconcile them, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not get back to Majlis Nabawi to perform salat, and has Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu perform the salat. But the ulama tell us that reconciling people was so important in his eyes that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave preference to that even if he came late to perform the salat in Majlis Nabawi. And brothers, let me conclude with it. Time is given. But at the same time, we also, as I said, we started off the talk is that we are social beings. And in social matters, when we interact with one another, there is going to be this drawback. But we need to manage it. Also keep in mind, you can't go and live in isolation. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Al-Muslimu alladhi yukhalitu al-nas wa yasbiru ala adhahum khayrun min al-Muslimi alladhi la yukhalitu al-nas wa la yasbiru ala adhahum. A Muslim who interacts with people, and he makes sabr upon the inconvenience that comes in the wake of interacting with people, is better than the Muslim who doesn't interact with people. And he is better than the Muslim who doesn't interact and doesn't have to make sabr upon the inconvenience of people. So we have to interact, and we have to bear the weakness of people in the terms of interaction. This is what is required. And lastly, I would like to end off with one example which I heard from one of our great ulama, who was in Karachi while we were studying, Hazrat Mawlana Ihtisham Ulhaq Thani Rahmatullah Alayh. Mawlana Ihtisham Ulhaq Thani Rahmatullah Alayh used to give this example of Professor Akbar Allahabadi. Professor Akbar Allahabadi was, he turned out to be the rector of Aligarh University. But when he was small, he went to go and study. So just before he was studying, at that particular time when people went to study, they went to study for a very long period of time. They shouldn't go now every week there at home. They used to go for 10, 12 years, they used to study and complete their studies and come home. So his father told him, you know, you're going for a very long period of time. Whatever you want, I will give it to you. So he was a small boy at that time. So he asked for something that was relevant to a boy of that age. He asked for a toy or something. The father couldn't find it in the marketplace. He ordered it, and when he went away to study, he got that toy. He kept it one side. Professor Akbar Allahabadi came after studying, after 10 to 12 years, he came back to study. The first day when he came, the entire family, the entire community came to meet him. The father took out the toy and gave it to Professor Akbar Allahabadi. Professor Akbar Allahabadi says, I felt ashamed. I felt, you know, I felt shy. I asked for a toy when I was 10 years of age. Now someone is giving it to me when I'm 20 years of age. Obviously, I felt that, you know, no, what does my father mean by giving me this toy? I asked for it when I was 10 years. Why is he giving it to me now? So the father also sensed my shyness or embarrassment. So he said, oh, my son, I want to give you a lesson. You asked for the toy 10 years ago. Today, you are embarrassed to get something that you asked for. You asked for it, not me. But today, you are embarrassed for something that you made a request for. The lesson I'm giving you is, don't do something today. Then when it is placed in front of you on the day of Qiyamah, you will feel embarrassed. Then how are you going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Brothers, the question I ask in regard to this is, when we look at many of our arguments and disputes, ask yourself the question, will it matter on the day of judgment when you are standing in front of Allah ta'ala? Many of our arguments that we have with one another in today's time, on the day of Qiyamah, when you are in front of Allah or you are about to cross the pul sirat, the arguments and disputes you are having with one another, will it matter? And what will be the reality of it? May Allah Ta'ala give you a topic of understanding. Let me very briefly recap what we have said. We have said we are social beings. Allah has made us social beings that we are supposed to interact with one another. I gave you the fazilat of that. Thereafter I said, however, one of the drawbacks of interaction is that somehow or the other we are going to sometimes have arguments and disputes. How do you deal with it? Firstly, walk away from an argument before it happens. Secondly, consider unilateral withdrawal. Thirdly, is consider sulah, which I've given the explanation with regard to it. Fourthly, keep forgiveness in mind. I gave the example with regard to the definition of forgiveness, the virtue of forgiveness. I said we need to stay away from being petty, because pettiness is going to consume us, and also bitterness. I spoke about how do we deal with religious arguments, and I gave an example towards the end with regard to what will it matter in terms of on the day of Qiyamah with regard to many of our disputes. The reality is, brothers, we need to stay away from argumentation. Because keep in mind the ayat which I've read before, at the time of the khutbah, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Don't argue and dispute with one another. فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رَيْهُكُمْ. Allah will make you weak. Allah will make you despondent. That is a necessary consequence of argument and disputes, whether it be on an individual level, whether it be on a family level, whether it be on a community and society level. May Allah Ta'ala always keep us with unity, and Allah Ta'ala keep us from argumentation. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.